This is Linux Lads, Season 7, Episode 16. I am joined, of course, by Mike, Amelith, and Connor. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the attention economy, and we're going to get to what that actually means in a second. First, I just want to let everybody know, if you want to get in touch with the Linux Lads, just go to linuxlads.com/contact. All our contact details are there. I won't go into detail, but we're mainly active on Telegram and Mastodon and maybe Twitter occasionally, I suppose, and Matrix. So yeah, as I said, we're going to talk about ads and the attention economy today. So as we all know, advertising is completely ridiculous. And a lot of people I have heard say that, like, advertising is kind of useless, and a lot of people feel like it doesn't even work. And it's just becoming quite over the top. That's my take on it anyway. Amelith, this was your idea of something to talk about, so why don't you introduce the topic and we'll go from there?
Sure. So the other day I was talking with my girlfriend and trying to put into words exactly why I dislike advertising and spam emails and cold call campaigns and cold email campaigns, which I consider spam personally.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I realized with when I was trying to put all that into words is that all of those people, the ads, the people sending me emails and texts and calls and billboards on the street, all this stuff is competing for my attention and monetizing it. The attention economy turns your attention into a scarce commodity that can be bought and sold and traded for stuff. And I really, really dislike that because I have the ADHD, ADD, something, one of those, I don't know which. So my attention is already hard enough to rein in without it being scattered all over the place even further. And there's nothing I can really do about it. In real life and in email, on the web, I've got a whole bunch of extensions, but that's not enough.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's the one thing that pops into my head is the Brave browser with their basic attention token. I mean, that was a well-intentioned idea to make advertising more kind of ethical and, you know, fairer to publishers and stuff. By publishers, I mean the people whose content ads are displayed on or within.
Like news websites and blogs and such.
Exactly, like publishers who are putting out content and putting advertising on it to make money off it. So it was essentially like you would look at a web page and there wouldn't be any advertising, but you would be generating money in the form of this BAT token.
I'm BAT token.
You'd be generating money basically just by looking at their content, and this would generate cryptocurrency in the background. And then that would be distributed to whoever's content you were looking at. That's the gist of it. I'm probably missing a lot of detail there, but you could convert that into real money then.
I think the thing with Brave and their BAT token was you would be replacing the website's ads with Brave's ads. And that's how they could afford to pay you and pay the other person.
Ah.
Someone has to see the ads, but they're supposedly more ethical than the ones on the website already.
Mm. As far as I'm concerned, advertising is just, like, the amount of money that companies put into advertising and marketing is just, why don't you just put that money into making a good product that people will want to buy? You know, I think a good product will speak for itself, and word of mouth is much more powerful, to me anyway, than advertising. If someone recommends something to me, I'm 1,000 times more likely to buy it than if I see it on an advertisement. Like a recommendation and word of mouth is just vastly more important to me.
Seeing ads for something makes me less likely to recommend. Exactly. Word of mouth.
It's just so lazy. It's like, just put your brand, put your thing in front of people's eyeballs as much as possible. It's kind of scattershot and lazy. And yeah, I don't think it's going to last. I think someday that system will either get incredibly, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It will start to become incredibly unfair and take advantage of people, or it will just collapse. But who knows? We'll see what happens.
I think the system is certainly going to slow down, because there are pressures both from the side where the people who normally buy ads, like your BMW and these companies are going to spend less because of the economy. There's less money in the economy and everything is going to slow down. So there is going to be fewer ads purchased. At the same time, people will have, because we are headed, at least in the West, into a recession, people will have less money to spend on stuff that they see advertised. And at the same time, whilst you basically had two companies that did ads over the last decade that had massive chunk of that market, which was Google, of course, and Facebook, one outside and one within their own little kingdom. Right now you have everybody else muscling in. You've got Amazon, Apple, and everybody else trying to get a bigger slice of that pie. So you see that the competition for your attention is probably just going to get fiercer. And the people who were making money or are making money off it, so basically your publishers, people who write blog posts and you make YouTube videos, these people will probably see that their revenue is going to go down. Because they will have to, you know, the ads are going to have to be, I would think, and this is obviously a prediction, and I'm not an economist and I don't play one on TV, but I think the system is just going to get more aggressive.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that could happen.
We can, for example, I would like to know what you guys think about advertising as an idea. Is it all just bad and there should be no ads at all?
Or even advertisements.
No advertisements at all?
I think there's nothing wrong with advertising in and of itself. If you want people to know about the thing you're making or selling, then fine. But, you know, how else will they know about it? But also, I mean, I don't know. It's a much deeper question, I suppose. It goes into, like, you know, capitalism and all this, you know, it's kind of a wider discussion at the end of the day. But, like, I feel that some advertising is okay. Basically, like, for instance, give you an example. If you're watching something on YouTube about, for instance, I watch a lot of history videos on YouTube. Like, I love watching videos about, like, wars in Europe in the 19th century and stuff like that, like real-time history or kings and generals, those kind of channels on YouTube. And they will advertise you things like courses online to learn about history or documentary platforms where you can watch documentaries about stuff online, things like that. So that's contextual, you know, if I'm using that word correctly, but it's related to what you're looking at. So that's okay in my book. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's where it's something completely jarring. It's like you've just watched a 20-minute long video on World War II history. By the way, this video is sponsored by XVPN. Go get your VPN needs.
Yeah.
While you're just been watching a World War II video.
Exactly. Like I watch some music YouTubers and they're trying to sell me ExpressVPN. It's like. And then you get these lazy ass segues where they're like Linus Tech Tips does this all the time. Like he almost like makes a mockery of it. Like he just turned it into a meme at this point.
In his case, he literally is. I think he says that while the sponsor for the video is just for him is like they're providing money for in order for me to do the thing that I do. He'll write out the episode and whatever, and then he'll leave a gap, and then. Literally, as he's recording the video, it says, and this video is brought to you by, and then in the live recording, he'll pause, leave a gap, and then they'll just insert him saying, this sponsor is a really good sponsor. Like, it's an entirely separate clip that they just edit in. That's the way he does it. And he says he does it deliberately. He goes back to the... he said in an interview that it goes back to the old school... like print media thing where the journalists and the people who do the advertisements are completely separate. They're like not even the same staff and everything like that. And he says, that's the way I operate. My sales guys and my whatever guys are completely separate from the guys who are the writers and the editors and everything like that, including myself.
Have you ever seen, I can't remember his name now, but it's a comedian, a British comedian on YouTube. He has a series that he does, Unfinished London and Map Men as well. Jay Foreman, I think his name is. I always actually watch the ads that he does. He does them all about like Skillshare and NordVPN and shit like that. But he actually makes like a comedy sketch around the ad, and it's always hilarious. And so I actually end up watching the ad because he's genuinely being really funny as well. So that's how you do it right.
Well, so 2 points, right? So Linus Tech Tips, he might be saying whatever he wants, but he's not separating the advertiser from his own first. It's always him who's saying the ads and him who makes the content, or someone else. You know, it's not like he has got a completely separate set of people to do the ads.
Yeah, second, that's a fair point.
He does these things when he goes to Intel and basically makes a massive... The video is all about what Intel does and what they let him see. So there's obviously a relationship. We can talk about whether it is good or bad, but it's not that he's completely separate from his advertisers, and he cannot be completely...
He does do sponsored episodes, but I think at the start he will say this episode is sponsored by...
Right. So he cannot be completely separate from his advertisers. Secondly, he has 14 million subscribers on YouTube, I think, and he has 80 people to pay with families, and he's running basically a really big, in terms of a YouTube video producer, he's running a big media conglomerate. I think similar with Marques Brownlee, who has got, 15 million people on YouTube or something like that. And no matter how many screwdrivers he sells, even if they didn't cost him $200,000 to develop or whatever, or $300,000, I don't know, no matter how many screwdrivers he sells, if it weren't for advertising, there is no Linus Tech Tip as we saw it. There is no Marques Brownlee, because there would be no money coming in, no subscribers. And in case of both of them, Intel, Apple, whoever, would not be bothered sending them stuff to review. You know, this whole thing that we use for entertainment wouldn't exist unless somebody pay for it. And in this case, it's advertisers. And I should say at this point, my employer works with advertisers, so they also contribute to my paycheck, so take everything I say with a pinch of salt. But as a truth point, I just don't see how we pay for content without advertising, at least in its current form.
Agreed. Just to bring it back to the attention economy, so the difference I see with really intrusive ads, so you see like custom PC websites are notorious for this. They will have like two bars of just dense advertising along the side of the website. I always see that. I don't know why it's on computer websites for some reason, but game websites as well, things like that. And that's intrusive. Like, it affects your enjoyment of the content that you're looking at. But when it comes to like, I don't know what the term is, but they have a term for ads that are within the video. They're scripted within the video. On YouTube, this isn't limited to YouTube videos. This could be anything, podcast, whatever. But that's not unethical, because they are. There's a clear link between the advertiser and the viewer. So it's going to be something that you're likely to buy, that you're somewhat likely to want, that you might appreciate being told about. I have actually bought things from YouTube ads that I saw in videos. I have Raycon. I have Raycon earbuds. Because they're a good product and they were recommended to me by people. I have bought stuff from merch stores and whatnot on YouTube channels.
Since we're dropping all the name drops and we're giving free advertising for all of the YouTube advertisers, I've also bought a Ridge Wallet.
But yeah, my point is that's useful advertising. That's ethical advertising. It doesn't affect your enjoyment, and you might even be recommended something that you are interested in and might want. But I think what Amolith is kind of gearing towards more so is like ads that just are completely unhelpful and intrusive, and it's just scattershot and shotgun approach. Just here, stuff, quick, buy all the stuff, buy all the fucking stuff, because it's a capitalist system. Got to work and buy things and shut up. You know.
I challenge anybody to go on both IGN.com and IMDb without any ad blockers or anything like that. It's like,
it's kind
really
of a nightmare,
bad.
Yeah.
Back with the ads and sponsors in the middle of videos and podcasts and such. In the past, those have been directly inserted by the content creator, but increasingly they're automatic as well. I know some podcast hosts or podcasting platforms or whatever that will programmatically just insert ads in the middle of your episode. And you say, put it right here. And then they when you download that episode, they look at your IP address, they look at whatever metadata, other metadata is provided by your podcatcher, and they just shunt an ad in there.
Yeah.
But my point is that just not all ads that are in the middle of content are acceptable.
There is a difference between what like Jupiter Broadcasting does, that where he basically, or what I think Joe Resington does, basically they just call the advertisers, or the companies that they want advertised that think are relevant to the audience, and I think that's the good way. But there has to be that I have never done this. I assume this is massively hard work. The other way is what Amoliv just says. I think Spotify does this. Basically, you create some context, a content, and Spotify uses algorithmic advertising that basically uses that checks everything from the device you are using to anything that they can get from data brokers about you. Say there's a 40-year-old balding white guy who drives a Skoda and I don't know, has an iPhone. So we think that he might do with a Peugeot commercial because he might like a better car, right?
That was oddly specific there, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. These are my details. Serve me some edits, right? Mm. But I think we would be all surprised if it turned out how much data brokers know about us. I don't know. I am not a data broker, but I assume because they can take data about you from any information that they can access, then they can form a picture that they can sell. Anyway, that's by the by. So we agree that do we kind of agree that advertising on its own, and which includes kind of still some kind of a selling our attention for, so that we can support the podcast or YouTube creator that we like, that's okay as long as it's relevant to what we are interested in. And as long as it's not like us being bombarded by a million pop-ups or thing I hate when you watch YouTube, when you watch any advert inserted into like regular TV, they raise the fucking volume by about half.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And that's just that. I hate this. You know, I didn't ask for you to, you know, you don't have to bombard me with your newest toothpaste because I'm not going to buy it. And now I'm even less likely to buy it because you blew my fucking eardrums.
But, that's why I don't watch TV ever.
Yeah, I mean, there are attempts to work this. Obviously, one is on the client side where we all use ad blockers, I'd imagine, and whatever other tools that we want to use, and we can maybe talk about which ones. And on the other side, there are networks, or at least I know about one that is trying to solve this on the ad network side. There is. There's a network called Ethical Ads that's made by the Read the Docs people, and they are. It's hard to get into for a publisher. It's hard to get into for a company, but they are basically trying to make you serve ads that have value, so that you can give value to the people who provide you with content.
Mm.
Other than that, yeah, I don't know how to fix this. It's. Anybody has any idea what to do about it?
That would have been my next question. Like, how do you even solve this? Like, does it just get to a point where ads are just so god-awfully intrusive and annoying that people just the whole system collapses? And yeah, I don't know. I did see one, I think it's in the notes there, but there's, ad nauseum. That's they're written down as well. That's like a subversion of the system where it clicks on every single ad before it blocks it.
Yeah,
so it makes all their statistics and tracking meaningless, basically. Kind of love that.
Banned from Chrome, but you can still install it. If you have to sideload it into your Chrome browser. But if you browse Firefox, it's in the extension app. It's a bit of an activism. And from the point of view of people who create advertising, it might be constituted as a sabotage. So, you know, it's up to you what kind of a statement you want to make. These people who make ad nauseum definitely want to make a statement. And you can't blame them. I mean, advertising is really horrendous. If you turn off your ad blocker, especially if you are outside of the EU, if you are in the EU, you get bombarded by cookie warnings. If you are outside of the EU, I'd imagine you get bombarded just by ads, like worse than here.
It's like, basically, we have a kind of a binary choice, as far as I can see anyway. Let me know if you guys think differently, but we have a binary choice of advertising supported platforms, or we pay for the platform with a subscription. I think those are kind of the two choices that you have.
Ads as a concept are okay, perfectly fine. People need a way to tell other people that they exist. It's when things go overboard that it's a problem. An example of going overboard is Ready Player One, I think. I could be wrong. There was a movie in which someone put on that they were testing how many ads they can fill the player's field of view with before giving them a seizure or something like that.
I was literally going to make that reference.
Their viewport was tiny. I'm holding my hands up in front of my face so listeners can't see, but it's like, I don't know, 4 inches tall and 6 wide or something like that.
Reminds me of that film Idiocracy. Where it's literally just the program is just like someone's arse farting constantly. And it's just like surrounded by ads.
I wouldn't be surprised if it goes that far before everyone collectively realizes it's a problem and someone does something to rein it all back in.
Well, that's what's going to be my next question. So do you think regulation can fix it? Do you think you can regulate the ad business into a sane state?
I'd like to think so.
I don't think regulation can only go so far. And then if you go there's a danger if you go too far with regulation that you kind of strangle creativity. I'm definitely not like a capitalist at all, but I do believe in having some form of a free market. Like, I think that you just can't not have that. I just think it's unreasonable to think you can't have a market. So yeah, a market socialist. I don't know, a democratic market socialist, I would call myself. You need a marketplace. You need to like sell and buy and sell things. You need trade and commerce in any society. Like, that's if you think otherwise, I just think you're a very silly person. But it's just such a hard balance, I guess, like, is what I'm trying to say. It's like, I think regulation should be to protect the weaker party. You know, that should be to protect people from being taken advantage of, or, you know, a big company that has a lot of resources and kind of holds all the cards. They're always going to be in a better position to disadvantage consumers for their own gain. So yeah, regulation should stop advertising from making false claims. It should be more related to the content of the advertising, rather than how much or how often you see it, because I don't think that's any of the government's business. But that's my libertarian side coming out. I don't know. I think it just, like, people just have to collectively just get sick of it, and for it to just not work anymore, for it not to be effective anymore. And I don't know when that's going to happen.
You know, that just means that it has to get worse before it gets better, because people won't do anything if it continues this way. It just needs a disaster.
Yeah. But the problem is, we have a bunch of monopolies, and all the tech giants are essentially all advertising companies, if you think about it. Most
they are
of
heading
them anyway.
There. Yeah.
Like,
even my beloved Apple are becoming getting into stupid advertising, and I hate
exactly.
it. I want them to be to rip me off on hardware. I don't want them to also take my data and sell them to the highest bidder.
I was watching a YouTube video the other day. There was literally an ad, like a YouTube ad, like inserted one, an unskippable one as well, I might add, inserted like literally every 5 minutes throughout the video. And I was like, I had to turn the video off. It was just doing my absolute head in. And I was like, and it's not even a graceful break. It's like mid-sentence, but, you know. Yeah. You know, here's Febreze or whatever. Oh, my bedsheets smell so good. It's like, I just want to see what fucking Napoleon did next. Like,
and if you want to see Napoleon to do it next, I think that's why I pay for YouTube. I ashamed to admit, because I just can't deal with that. I hate the ads. They also raise the volume on YouTube, I'm pretty sure. So
I have
only ever
of doing
going
that.
I know people recommend, probably Conor is going to start recommending a bunch of ways how to avoid ads on YouTube, but I just don't want to be hassled with it. I just want, also, I'm not paying for Spotify, so I'm kind of using YouTube Music as Spotify, which
that is
just does
not,
the job.
not a terrible idea, because I think when YouTube gives you music, I think now I could be way off the mark. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that an artist gets more fairly compensated through YouTube Premium than they would on Spotify. On Spotify, they basically make, unless they're in like the top 10% of artists on Spotify, you're going to make basically nothing.
Yeah, unless you're Taylor Swift.
Yeah, unless you have a deal or something with them, an exclusivity deal, or you're big enough to be important for them to want your music on Spotify, you know, then if you're Beyonce or Taylor Swift or whatever, like, then you're grand. But like, I don't know, I think YouTube is maybe a little bit, it's probably still not very fair, but it's probably a little bit more fair in that regard. But yeah, what I was actually getting at, I didn't get to my actual point before, was you have a choice. You can either watch all these stupid ads constantly, or you can pay for YouTube Premium. Okay, that on the surface sounds like an easy decision, but YouTube know that they are... YouTube is actually a bigger search engine than Google itself now. Not a lot of people know that. YouTube is the biggest search engine in the world, last time I checked. More searches go through YouTube than they do through actual Google.com. So that's... they're in a very, very powerful position to command, to make all these like decisions that affect their bottom line. And they know that you could go to, like, I don't know, Floatplane or Nebula or Vimeo or something like that. You could go to all these other places, but who's going there, really? Nobody. Compared to YouTube, basically no one.
Everyone's going to TikTok, you know?
They're the absolute king of online video, and like, unless... and they're just in such an unreachable pedestal that unless you have just a spare 10 billion, you're never going to reach them. You're never going to reach that level. So, you know, they have a monopoly, essentially, and they have completely different...
Wasn't there one called Odyssey or something?
Odyssey, like, yeah. But it was kind of started by free speech warriors.
Odyssey is like blockchain crap.
And it was blockchain crap and 4chan content, I think. You don't want to... I don't know. I mean, you do whatever you want, but I kind of try to avoid places where people are too Second Amendment on everything. Is that the one about free speech, or is that the one about guns? I never remember your constitution.
Yeah, I don't think they're quite that hardcore. They're not like far right or anything like that, but they are like... these kind of people who are like, nur, you can't say anything these days, nur, you know, like, and you know, I'm all for free speech, but you know, you complain about it so much, you just start to sound a bit contrarian, as far as I'm concerned.
That XKCD comic on free speech is fantastic.
Yeah, and but anyway, that's getting into a whole different territory.
Yeah. I would also add that paying $11.99 for YouTube might be within my reach, and that's €11.99, I think it costs. But for a whole lot of people, that is, that's just not reachable. They can't do it, and I don't even know if that's available everywhere. So some people just don't have the choice. They have to watch the ads, and that just creates inequality. Like, if I need to know something, like a day before an exam, I need to know how to do X for the exam, right? So I can look it up on YouTube, and it's gonna take me 20-minute video. I watch it, I make notes, and within the hour I might be ready, right? That's a very hypothetical contrived situation. Let's say somebody who can't switch off the adverts on YouTube will immediately be in disadvantage, because they will have to spend mental energy and more time to deal with the advertisements. It will be much more annoying for them to do the same task. So suddenly it creates inequality between two pupils, for example, in this very contrived example, and now scale it up for everything you do online. People with means might get it for free. People without means might have to struggle to be able to consume the same content, which is theoretically available to free without any boundaries, but it isn't, because you have to pay with your attention, and if your attention is all you have, then that's very expensive, right? So I think this is a case, and you know, I don't say this lightly, but I think this is a case where uses like where it's justifiable for people to use things like ad nauseum or any And not just, you know, not just in cases where you will try to learn something, but basically, if somebody's giving you something, they ostentatively say that is free, but you have to pay with your attention to get a lot, then you are justified in using ad blockers or anything, because it's now I've wrapped myself in my own argument, didn't I? But basically, what I wanted to say, I think that's the case for two things. One is ad blockers, and the other one would be regulation. I truly think that governments like the EU or other world governments should step in and basically declare the same way, like you have right to privacy and what was the other right to, I forgot, not anonymity, but anyway. Basically, somebody should say that you have
the right to USB Type-C chargers.
Well, yeah, well, that one, anyway. But basically, the EU should step in and say somehow, and I don't know if that's possible, to quantify attention and say you can only ask for so much, and that's it. You can't have a website that will basically annoy people to the point of making their life really miserable. And that's, I know that I didn't quantify anything. This is just, you need to measure it and before you make a law, and I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the government getting involved is, I think the government should, like I said before, I think the government should get involved around the content of advertising and hold publishers to account over spreading false things in advertisements.
They do already to a certain extent. That's already a thing.
Freemium models, I think, are the way forward, where you have like a paid tier where you get some niceties and then the rest of it is no advertising, but you make it in such a way that the tier who are paying for things are financing the people who are not paying. But, you know, that takes too much effort. And it's just bloody greed at this point, because everyone, like so many companies out there, so much business, so many people wanting to advertise, and most of them are just advertising shit you don't really need. So, you know, why do we need 12 different types of laundry detergent? Like, why they can't all do different things. You just want to wash clothes. Like,
you know what I always say? You don't have a problem with the matter at hand. You really have a problem with capitalism.
Exactly. Because specifically,
Shane, you do have a problem with capitalism.
Not necessarily capitalism, okay, but
current
greed,
stage capitalism.
But greed. Like, people wanting more and more and more when there isn't more to go around. There just isn't more. Like, you can't just keep growing and growing and growing and buying and selling and keep, like, it has to stop at some point. There's only so many people in the world with so many resources. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I have to explain that to people. It's just so obvious.
Well, as long as money was getting printed for cheap, it was not a problem. Now it's becoming a problem, and we will, but that's a different story. Amalith, yeah. You wanted,
anyway,
to say something.
We
for
cut
a
off
time.
Amalith once again. Very sorry.
Don't worry about it. I was going to say one thing that would make it all slightly less bad for me personally. I know lots of other people would despise it, but I would be less annoyed with ads, whether video or static images on like blogs or whatever, if to see the content, I had to click something before the blog post is like unpixelized or something, and before any of the ads load, I have to click the blog post to see the post, and then all the ads come in. That some sort of interaction saying, yes, I agree to be bombarded with all of this before actually looking at the post. Or with a video, rather than just immediately starting with an ad when you click a YouTube link, you're taken to the video. The preview is, instead of the video, is of the ad you're going to see. You click the play button, the ad starts playing, you go through it, and also limit the number of ads. It's gotten
so
ridiculous. But
you basically, before you get swamped, you want to know how much ads and what content, what type they are going to be, so that you can figure out if it's worth it for you.
Exactly. Yes. Some kind of explicit consent and knowledge of the trade-off, transparency, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, okay. So another way to describe it is, let's say you're going on a news website and they say, oh, this I think Reuters do this where they will say this article is a 5-minute read or this article is a 10-minute read or something. Since they already know the length of the article. They could say, for your 10-minute read, you watch through one 30-second ad or something. And, this one is an in-depth article that could be on Vanity Fair or some more of some of the magazine types where like it'll probably take you 20 or 30 minutes to read an article or something like that, and they're saying, oh well, in exchange for that we'll give you two 30-second article advertisements or something. So yeah, so if it's expressly stated like that, then I could understand that. Yeah,
some mobile games I think actually do this pretty well. You can play the game just like normally, but you might have, like, there's some lives system or energy system. You run out of lives, you have to wait an hour or whatever to play the game. Or you can watch an ad to get another life or another video.
I've seen that
kind of exchange is very explicit. The user knows exactly what they're getting. They're making that decision to watch the ad.
Yeah, Asphalt does that and made me basically, the ads were still horrible. And what I discovered, that there's a version of Asphalt that's provided by Netflix with no ads. So I just played as the only game I play ever. It's basically loaded on my phone.
And also the fact that an exploit of that straight away is, okay, so I'm just going to put down my phone. So you're going to display a 30-second ad. I'm sure they will know if you use the the multitasking switcher that you're like, the game is now playing in the background. They'll realize that. But what you could just do is just put down your phone. Like the advertiser is playing. Put down the phone and the advertisement is stopped playing. I'll resume my game.
Yeah, but it's still annoying, that's because you still have to wait, right? Yeah. So I understand, like, people want to get paid, and we say we don't need that amount of shite that's being advertised. But also, people want jobs. Unless we do what I think we should do and just start paying people to everybody, just give everybody money, even though it means that people will just not sit at home. That just probably means that they are not doing anything productive at this moment, and we might settle for 2 Detengert instead of 12, and that might be fine, right? But that's like, again, that's redigging the whole capitalism thing into something new, and that needs consensus from everybody, which we currently don't have. So
I think we need something to really go bad or to really go wrong for any of this to change. Which could happen pretty soon.
I keep banging on about post-scarcity society and how everything's going to be peachy as soon as we figure out how to give everybody more or less what they need without them having to strive for it. But I'm also told that people who think like me end up coming to the conclusion that a massive disaster is necessary before humanity will start thinking along the same lines, that we are all in this really together. And I don't mean the horrible Tory slogan. I mean, like, that literally we could fix everything, or most things we could fix if we just pulled at the same end of the rope. But I don't know. I hope.
I used to think like that, but I think it gives humanity a bit too much credit.
I think we can. There's almost nothing we can't fix. Anyway.
That's true, but like, I'm not throwing shade at people. I'm not like shitting on people. But at the end of the day, humans are animals. You know, we trust what we see with our senses, or trust what we perceive with our senses. We live moment to moment for the most part. Like, most people don't think that abstractly or think that far ahead in time. Unfortunately, most people just want to live a normal, happy life, do things they like from day to day, and the vast majority of people just don't care, I suppose.
We've already made adjustments, right? So after every disaster, there came a period of human history where things kind of improved, like, you know. And anyway, this is probably veering off.
But that's what makes it so interesting, because it is kind of the tip of the iceberg, I suppose. This, like, you can come up with all the sexy new ideas to fix it, but
it's a symptom.
It's the system underneath it that's the problem, really.
I was just going to say, my goal in bringing it up was to bring it up and tell people and maybe remove the quote-unquote perceptual blinders.
Yeah.
Perceptual blindness, for those who don't know, is this idea that until you are made aware of something, you don't notice it. Like, once I started driving my boss's Tesla sometimes, I had never noticed Teslas on the road, but then after driving it, it seems like I see them everywhere. So hopefully, by bringing more attention to the attention economy, people will realize that it's more of an issue.
Maybe our listeners could get in touch if they actually know of any projects that are addressing this. Because, you know, the Linux and open source community is a fairly crafty bunch, a fairly enterprising bunch. So I'm sure somebody somewhere has an idea of how to combat this, and it probably involves blockchain. I don't know.
Probably just not info. I don't know. It includes, like, what do you think is going to happen? So, Connor, how many ad blockers do you know of that are, how many solutions do you know how to just get rid of ads?
There's uBlock Origin, which is the one to go for. I mean, I hear a lot of people saying AdBlock Plus. Don't go for AdBlock Plus, because reason why is, I think it still might be open source. uBlock Origin is on is open source. It's on GitHub. It's everything like that. I think AdBlock Plus might still be open source. Not too sure about that. But they're compromised, because what they do is they've come to an agreement with advertising companies, and they say, okay, you guys are ethical. We'll let your advertisements through.
Quote unquote so, ethical.
Yeah. So the way to get around that is just install uBlock Origin. It's the best one. If you're on mobile, there's Android is the only way I think I'm familiar with, and also Android probably is the only platform that allows you to do this. I'm sure Apple probably doesn't allow you to do this. But if you just go on F-Droid, I'm not sure if they're available in the Play Store, but if you go on F-Droid, you don't need to be rooted or anything like that. There's a couple of applications that block advertisements, and the way they do it is they act as your VPN, because there's VPN functionality built into Android, and the way they do it is they just say, we're your VPN, and we're just going to route your traffic through our servers, and they'll block advertisements that way. Or that they could do it locally, I'm not sure, on the technical side of things. If you do want to route your phone, there's ways of doing it where they overwrite your hosts file, and then they just any advertisement that tries to go out onto the internet, it just rewrote to 0.0.0.0.
An application that does the local VPN route is Blockada or Blockada. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it. Blockada, one word. And then the one that does the hosts-based approach where you need root is Addaway.
Blockada, probably. It sounds like a Czech word for when you make a blockade.
Yeah, there's Blockada, and I think there's one called DNS something in F-Droid also that also does the VPN.
DNS Simple, method. Maybe?
I'm not too sure. Not off the top of my head.
You can also use Pi-hole on a Raspberry Pi at home, or you can deploy it on Linode, as we know from advertisements on the Linux experiment.
That would be a network-based, DNS-based ad blocking, yeah.
There's also AdGuard. AdGuard do both antivirus and ad blocking. If you go on their website, I think they say, there's a version that's in the Play Store, but I think the version in Play Store has been neutered, because I think there's restrictions with Google and the Play Store and everything like that. So I think if you go on their website, it's like they literally say, don't use the Play Store version. Here's a sideloaded APK and it's much better. And I agree, it is much better. It's like night and day difference. And that for free also does the act as your VPN ad blocking method. There's YouTube Vanced, which doesn't technically exist anymore, but the latest version, if you sideload the APK, still works. And for anyone who didn't know about it, they call it YouTube Advanced because it's YouTube Advanced without the ads. It's YouTube Premium for free, essentially, and it supports all of the YouTube Premium or YouTube Pro or YouTube Premium, however they want to say it, features that you normally have to pay for. So it does the background playing of it, and it does the little floating window that floats around anything that isn't available in the free version official application, and I think is in the premium application. And they also do they also have YouTube Music for free as well. So
NewPipe is another one that's like that, and it supports more than just YouTube. It also does SoundCloud, media.ccc.de. I think that's a the Chaos Communications Congress.
Chaos Computer Server. Club.
That's what it was.
My only problem with NewPipe is every single time that I've done this and I've followed their instructions to a T and it still doesn't work, is they say, oh, in order to import your subscriptions, follow this link, sign in with your YouTube account. This will download a file, import the file. I have followed every single step. Still can't import my subscriptions. I have no idea why. And I've tried this multiple times across multiple years and devices and everything like that. Just can't get it to work. So, but NewPipe is a very good application and is an F-Droid.
So you see, right? So for the last, 10, 15 minutes, you've been describing things that you can do to eliminate the bombardment of advertisements that you get from various platforms. And I don't think you scratched the surface. So can we just go on like this for the informed and discerning computer user or the mobile phone user? You can just get rid of all or most of the ads and just, you know, let yourself out of the attention business, attention economy?
Yeah.
Digitally, to an extent, but not in person. And that also doesn't solve the issue of with email or on chat systems. I still get spam messages in Telegram just as much as I do, almost as much as I do in email.
Oh, I looked it up. The DNS application I was thinking of was DNS66 on F-Droid.
Oh, cool. Sorry, so when you say in person, you mean like physical advertising, billboards, DOH, I don't know. Is that holographic advertising already, or is that still only in the movies?
I've never seen any. But
yeah,
I drive down the road pretty often and there's just billboard after billboard after billboard on both sides. There are some stretches where it's empty and clear and it's nice, but in cities, it's ridiculous. Around cities, it's ridiculous.
So yeah, I don't know how to help. I mean, I think it should work that if you really don't like what your area has become, you can always complain to the local council, but it really depends on your neighbors and on the people who live there. Like, if you get enough people around, and I think that kind of sounds like the most easiest thing to fix. Like, if somebody put 20 billboards in around Rahini, we do have a, you know, there is a local council. You can go there, you can complain, and if enough people make a fuss, both to the local council and the TD, the you know, any member of the national body, like, you know, if you make enough fuss, these people, as long as they have got surgeries or, you know, as long as they have got constituencies, as long as they depend on you liking them, they will be moved, hopefully, to remove the border or to put some stop to it. You know, instead of 20, maybe you get 5. That's true. I think it's easier than like global digital advertising. That sounds like a much harder thing to fix.
Yeah, it shouldn't really be that way. I saw a bad side to that before. This is slightly unrelated, but like it's interesting all the same. On the South Circular Road in Dublin, on the side of a house that a previous work colleague of mine was living in, they painted like this really, really nice David Attenborough mural with like plants and cool animals. And it had David Attenborough's face and it was really colorful and lovely. And all the NIMBY heads, not in my backyard for those who don't know what that means. So all the NIMBY heads complained and they were like, oh, we have to look at this like really beautiful mural all day. You poor bastards. Oh my God. I don't know. it's a piece of art. Like, I'd be really happy to have that outside my window every day instead of some billboard that says like buy a Skoda or whatever. Like,
the hell doesn't like David Attenborough, like he's awesome.
Oh, there's plenty of people who would make you have your house exactly the same as their ours, as their houses are. People who won't like, you know, there was a case in the UK where a woman bought a house in the neighborhood and the neighbors upset her for some reason, and she got one back on them because she basically painted the house with stripes, like I think yellow and purple or something. Basically, you had a row of houses that were exactly the same, you know, typical suburbia, and one of them was basically like a cake. And yeah. I love that because
I love that.
I do hate NIMBYism, and I think people should not be allowed to tell you what you can have in your house. But but people should be allowed to formulate a common action in common spaces, right? We should be allowed to say, we want a park here, we don't want, I don't know, a nuclear power station, and then we have to have a conversation with all the people interested. But that's a different story. It sounds like something we should solve, because if we are physically able to meet. That's again, strolling away from the topic.
So before we wrap it up, I'm going to say something that the other three guys are probably not going to say. which is these other three fuckers are going off to the Ubuntu Summit. The Ubuntu Summit is happening from the 7th to the 9th of November. Depending on when this episode is released, this may have passed or may not have passed. Anyway, we're recording it before, so I'm going to make the announcement now. If you see any of these three fuckers on the street in Prague, buy them a beer. Amelis will be doing a talk on one of the days.
Monday.
That will be linked in the show notes. These other three fuckers are going to be doing a live recording of the podcast on one of the days. That is also going to be in the show notes. And as I said, go up to them, buy them all of the beer, and hopefully we'll be, fingers crossed, we'll be invited back again, because this time I actually might be able to go. So, if anyone's there in the Ubuntu Summit, go up to these other three lucky fuckers and buy them a beer.
Yeah, so, yeah, obviously we're pretty stoked, and big thanks to Canonical for inviting us and facilitating this.
Absolutely.
We're not Canonical shills by any stretch.
Obviously, that was tongue-in-cheek. I'm able to make fun of my co-hosts. I'm not meaning to make fun of the Ubuntu Summit. The Ubuntu Summit is a very worthwhile thing. And please invite me back again next year.
That's very good.
So the other thing we can talk about is the 11th annual 26-hour New Year's Eve show that Hacker Public Radio does. They're doing a recording on New Year's Eve from December 31st at 10 o'clock UTC. It starts at 10 o'clock UTC. And they're going to have a recording going on in the Hacker Public Radio Mumble server where anyone can join and just say, hey, and drop out. Or you can stay there for the whole however long they're planning to do it. And they leave the recording going until 12 o'clock UTC. I don't know if that's 24-hour time.
So that sounds like a slog, but
yeah. I will be there for at least some portion of it.
Brought to you by copious amounts of coffee. Especially around New Year's. Jesus.
Yeah.
Sounds like good fun.
I was looking up that Chaos Communication Congress that you mentioned earlier, and that sounds really cool. If you want to go to that, I just give it a plug because I think it sounds cool. It's on the 27th to the 30th of December in Leipzig. So if you're interested, just thought I'd give it a shout.
Yeah, it's the Chaos Computer Club. I had it wrong. Yeah.
Okay. The event is called Chaos Communication Congress, though, right?
So ccc.de, which is what Amelis pointed out, they have the media server. That belongs to the Chaos Computer Club, and the Chaos Communication Congress is an event they organize.
Indeed. So this has been the Linux Lads. Thanks everyone for listening and for bearing with us. We shall see you in approximately 2 weeks or in Prague. So say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Adios.
Not jealous at all.